It's good to see you this evening at this gospel service. If you have your hymn book, if you would turn to the hymn number 208, please. The hymn book, it's the page 260, but the hymn number is 208. These are familiar words, but it presents the gospel, sound the gospel of grace abroad. There's life in the risen Lord. Spread the news of the gift of God. There's life in the risen Lord. It's good to have the good news concerning Christ, everlasting life, eternal life, found alone in Him. And we thank the Lord for bringing you to the gospel meeting. Let's sing with all our heart, 208, please. Let's just seek the Lord's face in prayer, praying for the service, that the Spirit of the Lord will graciously move, and that hearts will be opened, and sinners drawn irresistibly to Christ. Let's pray for the service, that the Lord's good hand will be upon the ministry, which will be in His name. We're very grateful, Heavenly Father, that we are able to seek Your face and draw nigh to Thee. And the way has been opened for us to come with boldness and with confidence of speech. We thank thee once again for the throne of grace and for the throne of mercy, where thou art seated, where thou doth dwell, the God that dwelleth between the cherubims. We are so glad that we are accepted in the Beloved One. And we thank thee once again, Father, for the covenant of grace, and for the sure mercies of David, for how that thou hast laid help upon one mighty to save. We thank thee for his willingness, his delight to do your will, for his obedience unto death. We rejoice that he was led away as the Lamb of God to the place of slaughter, to the place called Calvary. When we think of his death, like the Puritan John Owen, we can say, Jesus' death, it is the death of deaths, for he died for the ungodly. As our substitute, in our room and in our stead he stood. We're so glad that thy wrath, thy righteous indignation, was poured upon him fully. He paid it all. It is all to him we owe. We thank thee, Father, for each one in this meeting house this evening. And we can say that we are but sinners saved by the wonderful grace of God. We praise thee for that happy, for that blessed day, whenever our iniquities were forgiven, blotted out, erased, as far as the east, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. We're so glad that we're in Christ, and we thank thee, O God, for the glorious gospel of grace, the gospel of Christ, the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. We thank thee for this day of grace, for this day of salvation, and for all who have come. We believe, Lord, thou hast gathered them in, and we pray tonight that as thy word is preached, that thy word shall reach their heart, that thy word shall come sharper than a two-edged sword. Lord, may they be wounded. May their heart be pierced. May they seek the Lord for mercy, forgiveness of sin. May it be well with their soul. May the blood of Christ be applied. May it be that there will not only be rejoicing in heaven amongst the angels, but even in this place, Lord, amongst your people. We have prayed earnestly that thou would work in such a heart. We pray, Lord, be merciful to the sinner. Add to your church. Enlarge your coasts. Give the increase, for salvation is of the Lord. We remember Jonathan as he has come, and in a short season he will minister in song. Lord, I pray that the hand of the Lord shall be upon him, and I pray that the Spirit of the Lord shall breathe upon him, for the Spirit testifies of Christ, uplifts Christ, and that is our heart's desire, even like those Grecians, O Lord, in Jerusalem. Sirs, we would see Jesus. We want to behold him. We want to look full into his wonderful face. Lord, tonight we're glad that we can bring the suffering and the bereaved to thee. And we do remember many a house of mourning, many a family at this time who have been plunged into grief. Lord, thou knowest about the empty seat. The one whom thou hast taken, it has pleased the Lord to take. The Lord thou hast given, thou to take away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And we pray at this time that thy presence, thy nearness will be felt, that they will know the comfort of the Lord. We thank thee for the peace of God that passeth all understanding. Thou shalt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed upon thee. Lord, remember any in these families who are unsealed. We ask that they will think about eternity, and most of all this, Lord, need to meet to meet the Lord, to prepare to meet the Lord. There is an appointment that each and every one of us must keep, and it is death, physical death. But Lord, I pray that that judgment hour will be calm to each and every one of us. How calm the judgment hour will appear to all who do obey the word of God. Make the Savior's blood his trust and their stay. Do indeed work graciously in this meeting. Do work and do glorify thy name. Have the preeminence in all things. We ask all of these things, Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. We're now going to read from the word of the Lord. Just before Brother Jonathan Mitchell comes, ministers in song, it's from the Gospel of Matthew and the chapter 22. Gospel of Matthew, chapter 22, and we'll read the first 14 verses. Here we have a parable, and I want you to listen carefully to this parable. I recall many years now since I was saved by the grace of God, and you've heard the saying, a parable, it's an earthly story, but it has a heavenly meaning. So there is an earthly story here, but it has spiritual truth, spiritual meaning to it with regard to the gospel of Christ and God's goodness to you. What we're reading about the king here and this invitation for others to come, for things were ready, that invitation will be given to you in the gospel of Christ. Come, for all things are ready. The Lamb has been slain. We'll read here Matthew chapter 22, verse 1, please. Notice that the Lord is the speaker. When he speaks, let's hear attentively. Let's hear what he would say. Anybody else may speak, but when the Lord speaks, we ought to listen carefully to what he says. Jesus answered and spake unto them again by parables and said, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a certain king, which made a marriage for his son, and sent forth his servants to call them that were bidden to the wedding, and they would not come. Again he sent forth other servants, saying, tell them which are bidden, behold, I have prepared my dinner. My oxen and my fatlings are killed, and all things are ready. Come on to the marriage. But they made light of it, and went their ways, one to his farm, another to his merchandise. And the remnant took his servants and entreated them spitefully, and slew them. But when the king heard thereof, he was wroth, and he sent forth his armies, and destroyed those murderers, and burned up their city. Then saith he to his servants, the wedding is ready, but they which were bidden were not worthy. Go ye therefore into the highways, and as many as ye shall find, bid to the marriage. So those servants went out into the highways, and gathered together all as many as they found, both bad and good. And the wedding was furnished with guests. When the king came in to see the guests, he saw there a man which had not on a wedding garment. And he saith unto him, friend, how camest thou in hither, not having a wedding garment? And he was speechless. Then said the king to the servants, bind him hand and foot, and take him away, and cast him into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth, for many are called, but few are chosen. Amen. May the Lord bless that reading from his word. We are delighted to have our brother Jonathan Mitchell with us tonight. He's come to minister in song, and just now we're going to listen as he brings two pieces in song for us. Thank you.
In Christ alone my hope is found. He is my light, my strength, my song. This cornerstone, this solid ground, firm through the fiercest drought and storm. What heights of love, what depths of peace, when fears are still, when striving cease. My comforter, my all in all, here in the love of Christ I stand. In Christ alone, who took on flesh, fullness of God in helpless babe, this gift of love and righteousness, scorned by the ones he came to save, till on that cross, as Jesus died, the wrath of God was satisfied. For every sin on him was laid. Here in the death of Christ I live. There in the ground his body lay, light of the world by darkness slain. Then bursting forth in glorious day, up from the grave he rose again. And as he stands in victory, sin's curse has lost its grip on me. For I am his and he is mine, bought with the precious blood of Christ. No guilt in life, no fear in death. This is the power of Christ in me. From life's first cry to final breath, Jesus demands my destiny. No power of hell, no scheme of man can ever pluck me from his hand. Till he returns or calls me home, here in the power of Christ I stand. No power of hell, no scheme of man can ever pluck me from his hand. Till he returns or calls me home, here in the power of Christ I'll stand. I'll stand. All my tomorrows, all my past, Jesus is Lord of all. I've quit my struggles, contentment at last, Jesus is Lord of all. hearts, Jesus is Lord of all. All my possessions and all my life, Jesus is Lord of all. All of my conflicts, all my thought, Jesus is Lord of all. His love wins the battles I could not have fought, Jesus is Lord of all. King of kings, Lord of lords, Jesus is Lord of all. All my possessions and all my life, Jesus is Lord of all. All of my longings, all my dreams, Jesus is Lord of all. All of my failures, His power redeems, Jesus is Lord of all. King of kings, Lord of lords, Jesus is Lord of all. All my possessions and all my life, Jesus is Lord of all.
May I thank Jonathan once again for the ministry and song. It's always good to think of the Lord, and we've thought about his death, Calvary, the cross, salvation is of the Lord. But for every child of God, there is a need to yield your all to Christ. And you remember the Apostle Paul, Saul of Tarsus. He said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? He called him Lord, and we need to own up and say, he's Lord, he's King of my life. Everything is his. I'm not my own. I'm bought with a tremendous price. So there needs to be a yielding, a surrendering of all to this Savior. We appreciate the ministry. Jonathan, the Lord bless you as you seek to serve him. And now we'll have the announcements, please, from our brother Derek.
To underline that, thanks Jonathan for coming along to sing this evening. I'd like to bid each one of you a very warm welcome along to our service this evening, and also to those who are joining online. And a special welcome, of course, to our brother Dines as he is ministering this evening, and we're so glad he was able to come along. And to, he's one of our own here, of course, and we're glad he's able to come and to preach the word. He was here a couple of Tuesday nights ago, and it was a blessing to be here. He brought a tremendous word, and no doubt the Lord will give him help again this evening. As we announced this morning, we have a number of bereavements within our congregation, and we'd just like to pass on our condolence and our sympathy to them again this evening, and that is to our sister Celia Roberts on the passing of her father Cecil, and to Celia and to Paul, that we would remember them in prayer in these days. And Cecil's funeral will be, service will be on Wednesday at 12:30 in McGeehan Memorial Church of the Nazarene, and that's on the lower Newton Arch Road. And also to our own minister, Mr. Wilson, on the passing of his grandmother. And we would like to also extend that sympathy to him, to Mr. Wilson and Mrs. Wilson, to Kirsten, Leah and Isaac, and of course to all the Monteith family at this time. And Mrs. Monteith's funeral service is tomorrow at 1:30 in our Oma congregation. And also to our brother John Kennedy on the passing of his aunt. And we would like to extend our sympathy to John and to Dorothy and to the family circle at this time also. The services for the rest of the week are as follows. On Tuesday evening at 6:30, the Explorers Club. And they will be going to the Every Home Crusade, and the young people will be brought there, the children will be brought there just to see some of the work that goes on there in the printing of the Word of God in different forms. Also at 8 o'clock, the Bible study and prayer meeting. And then on Friday evening, the Youth Fellowship, and the speaker will be our brother Richard McVeigh. And also the men's prayer meeting will be on Friday night at 8 o'clock, and if anyone's free, then please come along. There's some times of blessed prayer in the prayer meeting. Next Lord's Day, on Sunday the 26th, the Sunday School and Bible class at 10:15, morning worship service at 10:30, Sunday School in Redburn Community Centre is at 2:30, and the 6:30 is the gospel service. And each of those services will be preceded by a half hour of prayer. And in the will of God, Mr. Wilson will be here to preach next Lord's Day. Next Saturday, there's a memorial service for the late Brother Fred Starrett at 10:55, 5 to 11 down in the usual place there at High Street. And it's a memorial of our late brother, Mr. Fred Starrett, and his friend James Cummings. And if you're free, I know Violet would be glad to see you. Other announcements are as follows. The committee meeting plan for Thursday night has now been postponed until Thursday the 9th of March. And the children's training seminar plan for the 9th of March will be rearranged. I'm not sure what I said there, but it's Thursday the 9th of March. I'm not sure what Nate said there, but it is Thursday the 9th of March. And finally, please remember the offering boxes which are available, and you can put your offerings and tithes in the boxes as you leave. And also, sorry, the Missionary Council offering this month came to £212. Thank you very much.
We do appreciate the announcements made by our brother Derek, and also we do sympathize with all those that are bereaved, and we know that the Lord is touched with a feeling of their infirmities. And let's pray for them. Let's pray one for another, the household of faith, that the Lord's presence would fill that place. As the Lord came to the house in Bethany, Martha and also Mary, and how that they were weeping over the loss of Lazarus. Yet what words in John 11? Jesus, he wept. He was touched with a feeling of their infirmity. And what words he spoke. I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. That's the hope that we have, the glorious hope that we have in Christ, that we do not weep as those that have no hope. We thank the Lord for the life, as Derek was saying about Mrs. Monteith and many others, Celia's dear father, believers, saved by the wonderful grace of God. It has pleased the Lord to take them. We'll miss them, but we know they're with Christ, and that is very much far better. Before Jonathan ministers in song his final piece, we'll sing together the words of 205 in our hymn book, 205. It's the page 259 in our own hymn book. 205, not have I gotten, but when I receive, grace hath bestowed it, since I have believed. Salvation, it's by the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, no other way. This is the only way. It's by the goodness, the grace of the Lord that sinners are saved. 205, we'll sing these four verses. We'll stand after our brother gives the introduction, please.
Oh, see.
Just before we come to the ministry of God's word, we'll ask our brother Jonathan if you would come, please, and minister in song.
Jesus is standing in Pilate's hall, friendless, forsaken, betrayed by all. Hearken, what meaneth the sudden call? What will you do with Jesus? What will you do with him? What will you do with Jesus? Neutral you cannot be. Someday your heart will be asking, what will he do with me? Oh, what will he do with me? Will you evade him as Pilate tried? Or will you choose him whate'er betide? Vainly you struggle from him to hide. What will you do with Jesus? What will you do with him? What will you do with Jesus? Neutral you cannot be. Someday your heart will be asking, what will he do with me? Oh, what will he do with me? Jesus, I give thee my heart today. Jesus, I'll follow thee all the way. Gladly obeying him will you say, this will I do with Jesus, this will I do with him. What will you do with Jesus? Neutral you cannot be. Someday your heart will be asking, what will you do with me? Oh, what will he do with me? What will you do with Jesus? Neutral you cannot be. Someday your heart will be asking, what will he do with me? Oh, what will he do with me?
Thank you once again, Jonathan, for your ministry and song. I had actually chosen as a final hymn the piece that you had just sung, but I changed it to another hymn, and I know the Lord always knows what's going to take place, so we appreciate that message and song. But what a very important question. What will you do with Jesus? It matters what you do with Christ. Matters this very hour what you do with him. The gospel will be presented to you, and I know previous nights some of you have left this house unsaved, out of Christ. You know what you have to do to be saved. You must repent, you must believe. And I have to ask, why do you neglect so great salvation? Why do you not come and seek the Lord while there's time? Remember, you must stand like I before the judgment seat of Christ, and the books will be opened. And it's important that you have received, that you have believed in him. And on that day, how calm the judgment hour will be, to all who have obeyed the gospel, heeded its call, and have received Christ as their own personal Savior. It's a wonderful thing to be saved and know that God's grace is marvelous, amazing. Saves sinners, wretches, even like we. Well, tonight, we're going to pray in a moment, but we're going to think upon this, an invitation, wedding invitation for you. You're going to receive a wedding invitation this evening. And I must ask you, what will you do with this wedding invitation? You're going to receive it from the messenger of the Lord. Christ is going to invite you to come to embrace him. And I want to take verse 3 as my text. And there it says, call them which were bidden to the wedding. Matthew 22, verse 3. Call them that were bidden to the wedding. Here's a call to the wedding, an important wedding of the king's son, the prince, the heir to the throne. The call, the summons is for people to come to the marriage feast of the son. And in the gospel, you will receive a call. The Lord is calling you to come to Christ and to receive him. You know about him. You've heard him. But he's not king of your life. He's not king of your heart. And that's the difference. So important that you have Christ as your Savior. Because on that judgment, you will not be able to say to Jehovah, to the Lord, I knew all these things. You'll be silent. You will not have a word to speak. You will be more condemned because you have known the will of the Lord. What you must do, you must repent. You must believe. So let's seek the Lord just for a moment. Let's seek the Lord in prayer, please. We thank thee, Father in heaven, for the good news, for the glad tidings of the gospel of Christ. We thank thee for that covenant of grace, and for how that thou hast sent thine only begotten Son. Thou did not spare him, Lord, but thou did send him into this world. Thou did so love this world. Thou didst give thine only begotten Son. And we thank thee for not only a perfect life, the keeping of the law of God, but for his atoning death, there upon the cross, there at Calvary, he died an atoning death for me. My sin, it pleased thee to bruise him, to lay our sin, our iniquities upon him. O Lord, pray tonight for those who are unsaved, those who are strangers to thee, that thy Holy Spirit may open up their understanding, and that they will see that the Lord Jesus is mighty and able to save their soul, so that they shall not perish, go down into the pit, but plucked as brands from the burning. O Lord, make bare your mighty arm, for thou art unchanging. Thou art the same as thou always has been. We ask as thou hast saved us by your power and by your goodness, Lord, extend up mercy even to the vilest sinner. May they be converted. May they be born again. May it be well with their soul. So give us help in the preaching. Lord, I acknowledge I am weak. I am poor. I am needy. Think upon me. Fill me with the blessed Holy Spirit, the power of Pentecost. I do ask that the breath of life will sweep over me, and that thy word shall run and have free course, and that thy great name shall be glorified. Do have thee preeminence in all things. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. The parable that I have read to you this evening, this parable was spoken in the courts of the temple. And I'm referring here to Herod's temple. the temple that he refurnished. And as you think about that time, the springtime, it was a time whenever many would have been at the temple in the courts of the Gentiles, because you recall that the Jews, the males, on three occasions, they were to leave their homes, whatever part of the country they were in, and they were to go up to that city of Jerusalem, to the temple, and they were to keep a feast. And at this time, when the Lord told this parable, it is almost Easter. The Passover feast has come, and the Lord here, he is the speaker of the parable on this occasion. And he's answering Pharisees. They were self-righteous. They thought that because they were religious and they studied the law, and because they were descendants of Abraham, they thought that merited favor with the Lord, but it did not. And they asked the Lord a question. Here in the previous chapter 21, they are saying, by what authority do you do these things? These miracles, these words that you speak, who give you authority? What authority do you do these things? And that's why the Lord spake many parables to these Pharisees. What a wonder that he even spoke to them. You know, there were occasions when the Lord was silent. He did not answer a word. He did not even speak to his accusers. But here to Pharisees, remember many other hearers as well, in that Mount Moriah in Jerusalem at the temple. He is speaking to those multitudes of people, and the Lord here, when he speaks, he spoke to them many parables. These parables, each and every one, indicated. You'll see from the parable of the vineyard and the two sons, which one did the will of his father? The one who obeyed. The son was sent to the vineyard by his father. He was commissioned. He knew the will of his father. And the Lord Jesus, his delight was to do the will of his God. Psalm 40. He came, he knew that he was doing the will of his Father in heaven. And that's the authority. He had received this commission from his Father to go into this world to seek and to save sinners, to reveal God's mercy, God's grace, God's goodness, God's love to a fallen, to a cursed world. But here the Lord is speaking. And remember, when the Lord speaks once, twice, men perceive it not. How good the Lord has been to you. For you are found in the house of the Lord. And the Lord has a word for you. And the Lord will speak again to you through the gospel of Christ. Even like this people here in Jerusalem, where were they found? In the house of the Lord. It's through his goodness that you are found in this gospel service, and he wants to speak to you. Are you listening attentively to what the Lord would have to say to you? He spoke on many occasions to them here. And I want to highlight some of the words, for it indicates here in the previous chapter 21, verse 24, Jesus answered and said unto them. Jesus answered and he spoke to them. And in that same chapter 21, 31, Jesus saith unto them. The Lord is speaking. They've asked a question. And they've asked the question to Christ, and he speaks, and he is saying to you, I am speaking personally to you. I have a word for you. I will even speak that word by your name. I will address this word to you. Are you attentive? Are you receptive to what the Lord would say to your heart this evening? A parable, the parable of the marriage of the king's son. That's the parable the Savior told. And you know, the disciples once asked the Lord, why do you speak to us in parables? And the Lord said, it is given unto you to know, to understand the mysteries of the kingdom of God. When we think of heaven, when we think of Emmanuel's land, when we think of glory, many mysteries, hard, difficult things to understand. And that's why the Lord speaks to you, and why he will speak through a parable, so that you might understand, so that the Holy Spirit might give to you understanding. I trust you will not be like those hearers. The Lord is saying to his disciples, you will understand the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. But he said, others will not understand. Their eyes will still be spiritually dead. They will see of these mysteries, but they will be spiritually blinded. They will hear, but they will be spiritually deaf. May that not be you. You hear, but do you understand? Do you see the importance of your soul, its well-being, and where you will spend eternity? So as we look at this parable, four particular things I want you to notice. First of all, everyone who was called to this marriage, to this wedding, they received a royal invitation. It was a royal invitation. Who gave the invitation? Where did it come from? The court, the palace of the king. It was the king's intention that there would be a marriage for his son, the prince, the heir. That's where it was devised, this great plan of a wedding, a marriage for the king's son. It took place in the king's heart, in the king's mind. When I think of the gospel devised in eternity by the Lord. When I think of even before creation and the heavens and the earth, six literal days, Genesis, those early chapters, God made the heavens and the earth. He formed them, he fashioned them. But notice here what it says, that even before creation, in eternity, a wonderful plan of man's redemption by the persons of the Trinity, the triune God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. They entered into a union, into an agreement, into a league. And it was so that sinners might be saved, reconciled to the Lord, brought nigh to God by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Covenant of grace. The sure mercies of David. So that's where this plan originated. As it was here, the plan for the wedding for the king's son in the palace, in the king's mind. Yet the gospel is not an afterthought with God. This is his plan, his eternal plan for our well-being. And do you see what it says in verse 3? The announcement of this plan, this wedding. It says, the king sent forth his servants to call them that were bidden to the wedding. What a mercy. The king sent his servants, his herds, from the palace. And that's what the Lord is doing today. When you think of men chosen, called of God, pastors, ministers of religion, I'm speaking about those who are truly called of God, chosen of the Lord. They come with a message from the Lord, and it is the gospel of Christ. And they come and they besiege, and notice it, what Paul is saying in his second letter, in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 20, in Christ's stead, we beseech you, be ye reconciled to God. They come in his name, in his stead. And these servants, they had authority. They had a message that they were to tell to everyone around, in the city, in the country. They were to say, you are called. You're asked to come to the wedding of the King's Son. Will you not come? And that is the message of the gospel to you. It is the King's servants. It's all those that he has chosen. And you'll notice to whom they give this message. For it says, first of all, to those in the city, then to those in the countryside. It speaks of in the highways, the highwaymen, robbers, thieves, the vilest, the ungodly. They were to bid all, no exception, come to the wedding. Come to the marriage of the King's Son. And the gospel, Paul said to the Romans, Romans 1 and the verse 16, it's to the Jew first, and it's also to the Gentile. Let us always remember that Christ and his apostles and Paul, when he entered into any city, it was to the Jew first. He went to the synagogue, and the message is to the Jew, but it's also to the Gentile, the non-Jew, and that's you. There's a word here for you. Do you notice here that those who were excluded from the wedding only excluded themselves? They would not come. They refused the call, the summons to come. They excluded themselves. They were invited to come. And so it is with you. You will not enter into the marriage supper of the Lamb, Christ, for you may exclude yourself. You're unwilling to yield to the claims of the gospel of Christ. So here's the message, and it's brought here by the servants. You know, in this meeting tonight, the Holy Spirit urges you to come to Christ. Here's the invitation that is given to you. The word emphasized here is come, for all things are now ready. And that is the invitation of the gospel. The invitation of the gospel to each one of us here is come to Christ. Come now. This is the accepted time. This is the day of salvation. The hymn writer said, while the voice of Jesus calls you, be in time. It's the Lord calling you. It's the Lord striving with you, his Spirit compelling you to come to Christ, that it might be well with your soul. Will heed his voice. Listen attentively to the voice. Obey the voice. And yield to Christ, surrendering all to the Lord Jesus. So here's a wedding, originating in the mind, in the heart of a king. What a great expense he made it. For it says all things were ready prepared. But notice what the parable says. My oxen and my fatlings, they are killed. The king, his flock, the best from the flock, he did not spare any expense for this supper, for this feast, for this wedding to his son. He gave his best. And that's what the gospel declares. The Father spared not his Son. Romans 8:32. Wonderful. Marvelous. When I think of God's goodness to us, we did not deserve God's love, his mercy, his goodness. Rather, we deserved a lost, Christless eternity because of our sin or rebellion against the Lord. But notice here, a great expense. The Father so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son. He gave his only begotten Son. He laid help upon Christ, one who is mighty to save. So we've noticed, first of all, with regard to this invitation, it was royal. But I want you to see this, it was rejected. Multitudes rejected this royal invitation. Why did they reject this invitation? The parable says they made light of it. You may do that tonight. As you hear the gospel call to come to Christ, to turn from sin, you might make light of the message. What does that mean? What does that imply? Making light of it. It indicates that you will despise the message. There's no weight to the message. It's of no importance to you. You can shake these things off and say, it doesn't matter. It's unimportant what I do with the Lord Jesus. But there is a question in the Bible, Matthew chapter 27, 22. What shall I do with Jesus, which is called Christ? It matters what you do with the Lord Jesus, which is called Christ. There's only two things you can do. Are you for him or are you against him? Jonathan has been singing, neutral you cannot be. There's no sitting on the fence when it comes to this matter of what you will do with the Lord Jesus. You are for or you are against Christ. For me, happy day of my life, 14th of October 1979. For Christ. I will go with this man, my Savior, my Redeemer, he will be. I love him for he first loved me. Amazing love. How can it be that thou, my God, shouldst die for me? Do you know, we read here that they made light of it, they despised the invitation. But it also says they began to make excuses. They began to make excuses. Why they would not come to the wedding. So many excuses. And you may leave the service and say, here's the reason why I will not accept Jesus Christ as my Savior. You may say, I am too great a sinner. What about my past and all of his sin? I am too great a sinner. Well, I say to you, consider Manasseh. Consider the woman of Samaria. Consider Saul of Tarsus. They were great sinners, but they had a great Savior. Gracious Savior, who saved them from their sin. And you may also excuse yourself and say, not only am I a great sinner, but even if I come to Christ, I will never keep it. That is true. You will never keep it, neither will I never keep it. But listen, the Lord does the keeping. We are being kept by the power of God. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 5, he guarantees his people. He is around and about his people in every side. He keeps you. He preserves you. He keeps you in the straight and the narrow way. So we thought about the invitation. It was royal. It was rejected. But notice this. It was renewed. It was renewed. This speaks to me of the king's patience, of the king's long-suffering. For when those servants that were first sent came back, they said, they will not listen. They will not come. But what does this portion say in verse 4? Again, he sent forth other servants. I want you to underline two words. Again, other servants. Again, another. That speaks of the invitation being renewed. Who renewed it? The king from the palace. He sent other servants. The message didn't change. The message was the same. Come, for all things are ready. You need to heed the invitation of the gospel. And you know, I see in the king renewing this invitation, his patience and his long-suffering. And I believe in you being in this gospel meeting tonight, it's an indication that the Lord is patient with you. He's long-suffering toward you. It is not his will that you would perish. He wants you to repent of sin, to turn your back upon it, and to confess the Lord Jesus as your Savior. The invitation was renewed. You know, that's what happened to the old world. The Lord did not just come in a moment and say, every imagination of the thoughts of man is evil continually. But for over 120 years, he was patient, he was long-suffering with the old world. He sent a preacher of righteousness, Noah. And Noah preached to them. It is Peter that speaks about it in his second letter and in the third chapter and in the verse 9. It speaks about the Lord's long-suffering toward the old world. I trust you will see. The Lord, has he not been long-suffering toward you? Indeed he has. He's been very patient. Time and time again, he has called you to come to Christ, and you have refused. You have said, I will not have this man, Christ, to rule over me. You spat at him. You scorned him. You've derided him. That has been your conduct towards someone who loved you so much that he gave his life as all to save you from the wage, the penalty of your sin. Oh, I trust you see how long-suffering, how patient the Lord has been with you. Notice I was saying here about repentance, that there is a need for you to repent of your sin. You know, that's the gospel message. In Luke chapter 13, it says there in verse 3 and the verse 5, it says, except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. There were those in Jerusalem, and when the Tower of Siloam fell upon the people and they perished, they said, Lord, they must have been great sinners. But the Lord said, if you don't repent of your sin, you will likewise perish. And that's the Lord's message to your heart tonight. Repent. Believe the gospel. Turn from sin. Do not coddle it. And do not think that it is your bosom friend. It will damn your soul to a Christless eternity. Shun it. Be done with it. Throw it off and embrace the Lord Jesus as your own personal Savior. So I'm speaking here about a renewal. And you'll notice here that Noah, time and time again, he preached. He preached to that people. And you know, the reason he preached was because the Lord is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to him in repentance. And that is God's will for you this evening. He does not want to see you perish, going down to the pit, to Hades, to hell, and being eternally lost. He wants to see you saved, plucked as a brand from the burning. You know, the Lord speaking to Jerusalem, and there in Luke chapter 19, he wept over the city in verse 41. But when he wept there at the foot of the Mount of the Olives, he wept over Jerusalem. He said, how often would I have gathered thee as a hen her chicks under her wings, but you would not come. And that's what the Lord is renewing the invitation, because often he is renewing the invitation. He wants to gather you beneath the shadow of his wings. But you know, the sad thing is this, as those in Jerusalem knew not the day of their visitation, you may be ignorant that this is the day of God's visitation. He is striving in your heart. He is visiting you. Oh, that you would be anxious about your soul, and that you would see your great need to embrace the Lord Jesus, freely offered to you in the gospel. There's one last thing I want you to see about this invitation. Yes, it was royal. It was refused, rejected. It was renewed. Praise God, it was received. Because when the servants went the second time, now not to the city but to the countryside, they invite those in the highway. Now, these were the worst of men in the highway. You only read the story of what happened to that man as he went from Jerusalem to Jericho, and he fell among thieves, highwaymen. They were waiting for such an individual to pass by that way. Here in the country, highways, highwaymen. And yet the invitation was given, extended to each one of them. Come to the Son's wedding. Will you not come? The King has made the feast a great expense. All things are ready. Will you not come? And in the verse 19 of this chapter 22, it indicates that they were the good and the bad. At that portion, you'll see it there in the verse 10, rather in the verse 10, bad and good. The bad and good were invited in the countryside. And that speaks to me, the bad, the vilest, the worst of people, their sins were as scarlet, but they could be made whiter than the snow. John Wesley was bad. He was vile. He was caught up in the slave trade. But on the 10th of March, 1748, graciously saved. In a storm, God arrested him. And he spoke about amazing grace. Saved a wretch like me. I was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind spiritually, but now I see. John Newton was bad, but he heeded the invitation to come to Christ and to his wedding, to the marriage supper of the Lamb. Now you may say, I'm not bad like that man, but I'm the good. I'm morally good. And I'm living the clean side of the street. I'm religious. But you know, Nicodemus, many would have said he was a good man. He was a Pharisee, member of the Sanhedrin. But what did the Lord say? Ye must be born again. Nicodemus, if you're not born again from heaven of God, you'll never enter in to the kingdom of God. He was a good man in the eyes of many. But the Lord, who saw the heart, had to say, your heart is not right in the sight of God. May it be as you sit in this meeting, you will see your great need of Christ. Jonathan has been singing, what will you do with Jesus? Neutral, you cannot be. I asked you personally, what will you do with the Lord Jesus? Here is the king. He comes to the banqueting hall, to the reception. And you'll notice toward the end of the parable, in verse 11 through to verse 13, he inspected everyone in that wedding. There's one man, he hasn't on the wedding garment. Do you know, it was a tradition amongst the Jews that every guest would put on the wedding garment provided by the king or by a Jew. They were to put this garment on before they entered in to this marriage supper. That's why we speak about, are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are your garments white, white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Yes, there is a wedding garment. There is a garment of salvation. There is a robe of righteousness. It's not our righteousnesses. It's the righteousness of Christ. The Lord, our righteousness. Jehovah Sekenu. He is all things to his people. Jesus, thy blood, thy righteousness. My beauty are, my glorious dress. I asked you, are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Have you laid aside these filthy garments, rags of your own righteousness? Have you cast them aside? The beggar's robe, are you washed? Do you know God's grace, God's mercy? Can you say, he has been merciful to me, a sinner? I've sought him. And the Bible says, him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. What a promise. What a word from the Lord. In no wise, John 6:37, in no wise I will cast you out. You come as you are. And you must come as you are. A vile sinner. Do not try to turn over a new leaf. Come just as you are. Just as I am, without one blade, but that thy blood was shed for me. O Lamb of God, I come. You need to come just as you are. And the wonder of it all is this. If you receive Christ, he'll make you a child of the King. John 1:12. As many as received him, to them give he the power, the right, the privilege to be called the sons, the daughters of God. Even to them that believe on his name. You're a child of wrath if you know not the Lord as Savior. Child of Belial, of the devil. But the wonder is this, by the marvelous grace of God, his loving kindness, God's patience, long-suffering toward vile sinners like we can be brought right into the family of God, adopted. And the Lord will provide, protect, supplying every need according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. So as I conclude this service, I must ask you once again, what will you do with the Lord Jesus? Neutral, you cannot be. Are you for him? Are you against him? I know that many here are for him. They have thrown in their lot with Christ. And they have said gladly, I will go with this man. My Savior, Lord, my Redeemer, he will be. What about you? We've prayed earnestly for you. Want to see you saved, brought to Christ. May the Spirit of the Lord draw you. May you be brought to Christ. I trust the Lord will bless his word to our hearts for Jesus' sake. Amen. We're turning to the hymn 701. 701. It is a hymn of invitation. We'll only sing the first verse and the chorus, "Come to the Savior, make no delay. Here in his word he has shown us the way. Here in our midst he's standing today, tenderly saying, come." 701, only the first verse and the chorus, please. 701. Thank thee once again, Lord, for the gospel of grace and for that wonderful invitation for sinners, the ungodly, to come to embrace Christ and to have in him eternal life. Peace with thee through the blood of his cross. We ask that even tonight, as the Spirit is striving, that men and women will be wise unto salvation, that they will put on the Lord Jesus Christ, that they will trust him now, that they will be born again, that they will enter into the kingdom of heaven. As the voice of man is silent, do speak on. Do write your word now savingly upon the heart of the lost. Glorify, magnify thy name. We ask it in Jesus' name.